Let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 25. In this first half of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the spiritual gift of tongues is shown to be not as important as the gift of prophecy for the edification of the church. Let's begin by reading the first 12 verses of this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Let's begin our study of this first half of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 with some background notes. We've seen in our study of 1 Corinthians that starting in chapter 12, the Apostle Paul began a three-chapter section on the proper use of spiritual gifts in the church. In chapter 12, we saw that the church is the body of Christ, consisting of many members with different functions and different spiritual gifts, but all designed for the mutual edification of the body of Christ. Every local church should reflect the one true body of Christ, with all believers exercising their spiritual gifts and fulfilling the function that God designed and ordained for them in the body. By the way, the best way to find out your spiritual gift or gifts is to get involved in Christian service. The rest of the body has ways of communicating to you where you fit and where you are a blessing to the body, as well as where you don't fit and what is not your function in the body. Now, sometimes that experience can be very unpleasant if it's not done in love. Now, obviously, there is not always going to be the smooth running of the body. There will be misunderstanding and abuse of the gifts. There will be jealousy concerning the gifts. There will be the despising of certain gifts and functions in the body. There will be the lack of communication and the lack of care for all the members of the body. All of these problems existed at Corinth. And so the Apostle Paul spent a whole chapter on the importance of love in the body of Christ, as we've seen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is one of the most sublime chapters in the Bible, but it is in the context of the proper use of spiritual gifts in the body of Christ, in the church. It may have seemed like a digression from the main topic, but it was a necessary digression because love for one another is necessary for the proper functioning of the body of Christ and the proper use of spiritual gifts. The gifts of the Holy Spirit must be controlled by the fruit of the Holy Spirit, especially the fruit of love. Now here in chapter 14, Paul shows that for the proper functioning of the body, there must be a recognition and appreciation of the spiritual gifts which are most beneficial for the edification of the whole body. And that brings us then to our doctrinal teaching points for this first half of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Doctrinal point number one, the gift of prophecy is greater for the church than the gift of tongues. The gift of prophecy is greater for the church than the gift of tongues. In the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read, but earnestly desire the best or greater gifts. So there are some spiritual gifts which are greater than others. Remember, greater in the sense that they are of greater benefit for the whole church. We've seen that God sovereignly distributes the gifts to individuals as he wills. But to desire and even pray for the Lord to raise up individuals in your church that have the spiritual gifts that are of greatest benefit for your church is the point of 1 Corinthians 12:31 and the point of chapter 14, verse 1, which says, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. The gift of prophecy was and is a greater gift for the church than the gift of tongues. The Corinthians needed to learn this truth, and so do many well-meaning Christians today. The Corinthian Christians were putting too much emphasis on the gift of tongues because it was more dramatic and spectacular than some of the other gifts. Now, regardless of the position you take on the gift of tongues here, whether they were known languages or ecstatic speech, and whether they were just for the early church or also for today, regardless of your position, the point of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is clear. The gift of tongues was not as great as the spiritual gifts of prophecy or knowledge or teaching. Verse 6. Why? Because unless there is interpretation, there is no edification of the body. Verse 5. The speaker may be speaking great mysteries and be blessed in his own soul. But if only God understands and the church is not edified, forget it. Verses 2 through 4. Prophecy, on the other hand, which is telling forth the truth of God in the language of the people, can edify and exhort and console those in the body of Christ. Verse 3. Speaking in a tongue that no one understands is like playing just noise on a musical instrument, or no communication with an important military bugle, verses 7 and 8. Without people understanding, speaking in tongues is like just speaking into the air, verse 9, or like trying to communicate with barbarians, verse 11. Prophecy, on the other hand, is a greater gift because it can be understood, and therefore it can edify the body, and edification is what it's all about. The gift of prophecy is greater for the church than the gift of tongues. Doctrine point number 2. The gift of tongues should be limited in the church but not condemned. The gift of tongues should be limited in the church but not condemned. Verses 13 through 25. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet, for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are a sign not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Did you ever hear a Christian say that all speaking in tongues today is of the devil? That is certainly not a wise statement. Now, it is true that Satan can counterfeit spiritual gifts, and there have been documented cases where the source of tongues was demonic. However, to say that all speaking in tongues today is demonic and to limit God from giving the gift of tongues today would be unwise. Even if you take the position, as I do, that the gift of tongues was a sign gift primarily for the early church, we should not limit God from giving the gift of tongues today if he so chooses in a particular situation. On the foreign mission field, for example, where the Bible is not yet translated and where the Lord might use signs to confirm the true word of the missionary. So we don't want to limit God. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14 certainly does put some limits on the practice of tongues in the church. While it was not condemned, the gift of tongues was to be limited. So even if you believe the gift of tongues is for today, there are limits to its use. I see three limitations here that are put on the use of the gift of tongues in the church. Number one, the limit of interpretation. Verse 13, tongues without interpretation does not get through to the mind, and thus there is no understanding and no edification. Verses 14 through 17. Number two, the limit of priorities. It is obvious from this chapter that priority and emphasis should be put on the greater gifts that edify the body, that is, build up the body. Paul says in verses 18 and 19 that even though he spoke with tongues more than all of them, yet in the church he would rather speak five words with his understanding that he might teach others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Number three, the limit of order. The limit of order. In the last verse of this chapter, we see that everything in the church should be done decently and in order. Now, this order would certainly include the use of spiritual gifts. If everyone's speaking in a tongue during a church service, it would be out of order. And unbelievers in attendance would say that they were in the midst of a bunch of crazy Christians. Verse 23. We see in verses 20 through 22 that tongues was given primarily as a sign gift for the purpose of convincing unbelievers of the truth, as at Pentecost. Within the church, however, the use of tongues can be disruptive and easily out of order. In the church, put the emphasis on prophecy, which is a sign for believers, verse 22, and can even be understood by unbelievers, verse 24, and may even lead to their salvation, verse 26. So limitation of the gift of tongues is certainly what the Bible teaches. The gift of tongues should be limited in the church, but not condemned. What about practical application from this first half of 1 Corinthians chapter 14? It's okay to say amen in church. It's okay to say amen in church. You know, I've preached in churches where I got a lot of amens from the audience during my sermon. It was encouraging because I knew the people were listening and in agreement. But I've also preached at churches where no one said amen. And I wondered whether the people were even listening to what I was saying. Well, we see from verse 16 that it's okay to say amen in church. And it's indirectly encouraged as long as you understand what's being said. Listen, when you're in agreement and being blessed with what's being said, feel free to say so. It's okay to say amen in church.